Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
For those who haven't met me yet, my name is Julie O'Mara. I'm the wife of the lovely Craig O'Mara and mother of our 12 beautiful children and one foster baby who's cute too. They're probably at the back now saying, who gave Mum a microphone? Well, the Beyond team that I have the privilege to serve alongside of is the Rahab team, led by the lovely Sarah and Kay from the Fusion Church. We have a few different churches that come aboard and work with us. The Gun Team, we seek to bring God's love, compassion and healing to the adult services industry in the Canberra region. There's two teams currently working on the south side and the north sides. The Rahab Ministry was established over 20 years ago and has many teams Australia-wide. Founded by a lady named Paulette Cairns, who recently visited us here in Canberra and shared her inspiring story and the vision for the future of her ministry. It was named Rahab after a Canaanite woman who was a prostitute, who also became a biblical heroine and the great-great-grandmother of King David, whose lineage led to the birth of Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? I find this true in this space. Whilst I feel this ministry is confronting and often leaves me feeling helpless, these challenges are all worth it to make a difference in the lives of the people who live in our community. Our team gathers together to pray and worship before we go out once or twice a month and visit various adult establishments, giving gifts to those we have the opportunity to meet and leaving gifts for those we don't. I've personally seen God's tears of joy and sorrow as we share God's love and care and compassion to the souls we meet. When the opportunity arises to pray and share their burdens, it leaves me so grateful to be God's hands and feet. It's pretty emotional. Recently, our team has been blessed with two new members who have been able to break down some of the language barriers we faced, which has brought tremendous breakthroughs and leaving many smiling faces. Being a part of this incredible team has grown me both in maturity and spirituality. I'm so grateful to be able to bring light and hope and healing to a sometimes forgotten world.
Wonderful. Thank you, Julio O'Mara. And did I hear you say the lovely Craig O'Mara? Okay. The words of a wife. A devoted wife. Those guys are awesome. They know all about compassion with their 12 kids, and you've got a baby looking after in addition at the moment. It's fantastic. If you want to learn about compassion, go and talk to Julie. And welcome, everybody. Have you had anybody who arrived at approximately 10 o'clock for the 9 o'clock service today? Don't want to admit that? Fair enough. Hey, we're talking about being rich in good works, and there's two things we can do, two things that we have in our hand, and one is our money and the other one is our time, and I'm talking about those things today. But there are already extremely generous people in our church, and I'm not wanting anyone to feel like, you know, I'm trying to tell you to do something that you're already doing. I just want us to refocus I know for me, this parable I'm going to look at today helps me to remind myself of some core things about life, and that's a good thing for all of us to focus on. And You know, Jesus sat down near the temple, and he just, some little quiet area, and he was watching people come up the steps and go to the big sort of container that they had there and toss in money as their gift to God. It's a pretty outrageous thing for Jesus to do. And God does it today. Just interested to watch. Oh, I wonder what they're going to give. And not only did Jesus watch what people were giving, but he was rating what people were giving. And he wasn't rating based on their total amount. He was rating based on the percentage of what they had. And so he was saying, he was nudging his disciples and saying, see, that's that rich guy, threw a whole lot of gold coins in there. Amazing amount of money. It wasn't much. It wasn't much. See that guy there? He's been generous. Oh, this woman here, this old woman, just put in 2 cents. She put in more than anyone else. Amazing. The way Jesus looks at money is different to the way we look at money. And the way he looks at riches and the way he looks at actions, as Julie mentioned. And you can take action by signing up on our website today for next Saturday. Next Saturday is just 10 to 11:30. We're starting small. And you can sign up even while I'm preaching if you do that, as long as I don't catch you doing it. I remember as a child sitting next to my mother watching her put a $20 note into the Baptist little felt bag thing that used to go around, and thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. Gave me 20 cents to put in for the kids. Huge amount of money, $20. And then a few years after that, we had a visiting speaker at the youth group who challenged us to consider doing what Jacob had done in the Bible, which is give 10%. And 10%? What? 10%? I was only making $100 a week as a cleaner, a school cleaner. See, I've been there before you, pal. And that would be $10 out of my whole $100 for the week. But God looks at money differently. Look at this scripture, Luke 16:1. This unusual parable where Jesus helps to make us focus on the right thing, put things in order. Luke 16 verse 1 says, "Now Jesus was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him, and he said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. Bring the books, let's have an audit, come and stand on the carpet.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I'm removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes.' And he summoned each one of his master's debtors and began saying to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And the man said, 100 measures of oil. And the manager said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Quick, 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 before I notice.' And then he said to another one, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And the manager said to him, 'Take your bill, write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager. Isn't that crazy? He praised the unrighteous manager. Why? Because he'd acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. We're the sons and daughters of light, by the way. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, when it leaves, when it stops, you may be received into eternal dwellings.'" So, some interesting things from this passage. The first thing I'd say is that the manager knew he was going to lose his job. He knew he was guilty. "I'm going to lose my job, so I better do something about it." Second thing, he says, "I'm ashamed to beg. I don't want to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg." Now, he wouldn't have even thought of those things as an option if he'd had cash put aside. But the problem was he hadn't invested money, he'd just spent money. And so that left him with nothing. I think it's really interesting. It's an interesting point. And it makes us wonder, what are you doing with your money? How much are you just spending? And how much are you investing? If the money stops, if the money fails, do you have anything there? Because Jesus would be suggesting that that's a good idea in this parable. The third thing, he said to the debtors, change your bill. So not only had he been ripping off his master, but when he got caught, he thought the best thing to do would be to continue ripping off his master. But instead of pulling the money in for himself, he used it as a bribe to other people. And then we get to the really weird part. The master commended him. How many of you would love to commend someone who has ripped you off and say, oh, that's very clever of him. What a smart person. I just like the way he did that. So there's a number of people who get ripped off in our society. I don't think there's many of them who'd want to commend the person who did it. But Jesus was making a point here, and that was that there was a principle that the manager had keyed into. And the principle was simply this: plan for the future. Use money to plan for the future. Now, it also talks about eternal dwellings. Jesus actually says there, the meaning of the parable. I say to you, make friends for yourselves using money. So when it finishes, you'll be received into eternal dwellings, into heaven. What's he talking about? Well, the only thing that can go from this planet into eternal dwellings, it's not money, it's not assets, it's not anything except a human spirit. A human spirit is the only thing that makes it through. And Jesus is saying, think about that with your money, with your investments. Invest into the one thing that will last forever, which is human spirits. Make it your goal that your money is going to be used to do that. As I said before, we have a lot of very generous people in our church who have taken huge percentages of their income or their savings and given it to the cause of God's kingdom. But all of us need to remember, why are we doing this? Why are we about to take up an offering today, which is a new offering in our church life? We've taken up offerings for this building. The building is built. We're still going to take up offerings to build some extensions and other things, but this is a new thing. It's a new day for our church. It's a new initiative. We want to, okay, we've got, this is planted. Now we want to look beyond. And the beyond ministry is all about, okay, we want to invest into people out there. Because we can't take money, but we can take other humans with us. And we can use our money to make friends for Jesus so they can hear the gospel, they can be touched. So they can be touched and they can get a chance to come and be with us. And Jesus says that's a great use of money, as all of us should know. In a million years from now, there'll still be a bunch of us who will be thanking my uncle and aunt for investing money and time into youth ministry, Scripture Union camps in particular. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for running that. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for letting me encounter Jesus. Thank you for letting me hear the gospel. Thank you. Thank you. And welcoming them again and again into eternal dwellings. You probably have some people like that yourself. When you get to heaven, you'll really be able to understand fully the weight of what they gave in getting the gospel to you. In a million years, there'll be people thanking those of us who invested in this church, not just in the building, but in the programs of the church. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for creating an environment where I felt comfortable, where people welcomed me. Thank you for creating a church that cared enough to go beyond, out into the community, and to build bridges and to touch people's and touch people's hearts with the love of God in a practical way. As Julie said, their action speaks louder than the words. In fact, in James 2, verses 15 to 17, it says, "What good is your faith? If you say a blessing to someone in need, God loves you, but don't give him a coat or some food." And coats and food cost money. And so it's a natural thing to do, is to invest. Because when you and I take money, money is temporary, right? We can't keep it forever. In fact, we never know. If the stock market crashes or some disaster occurs, we can lose it all anyway. People are finding all over the world. With wars, you lose things. So we can take something that's temporary, and by giving it to God's kingdom, we can transfer it into eternal value. We can take something that we can't keep forever and turn it into something that we can keep forever and never lose. Another human soul in the kingdom. What a wonderful investment. Matthew 6:19 to 21. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What is the greatest treasure to God? Well, it's the only thing that he's given his own son for. Human souls. And he says, join me. It's the one investment you can make. Yes, I need you to look after your own home. I need you to pay your bills, do what you need to do. Yes, but don't forget the true investment and the value of a human soul, and pour yourself into that, because eternity is a long time. We're going to be there a very long time. It's hard to imagine. William Colgate, guess what he was into? In 1806, he started a business in New York. And just before he started his business, he had another young guy, when he was about 20 himself, another young guy, a friend of his, said, I told him the story of Jacob, who long before there was a law, made a deal with God, which was, if you look after me and if you give me clothing and if you bless me and if you do that, I'll give you 10%. He didn't have to. It was just a demonstration of his gratitude. And William Colgate said, I'm going to do that too. And he started with hand soap, moved to laundry soap, moved to tooth soap, slightly better flavour. The first toothpaste didn't make bubbles, by the way. But now you can't imagine a toothpaste that doesn't make bubbles, unless you go to the dentist. That's disgusting, that stuff. Anyway, we digress. He moved into that and his business grew. As you know, Colgate dominates the market. I mean, he's long dead, but God bless this idea. And his foundation continues. And he went from 10% to 20% to 30% and beyond with his giving to God. He gave to schools. He gave to hospitals, Christian hospitals. He gave to missions. He gave to anywhere where he felt that people would hear about Jesus. He invested into eternity. And he will be welcomed. He was welcomed into eternal dwellings by people who said, thank you. Thank you for sharing the gospel. The joy of heaven. So now we have the first of our annual opportunities. As I said, it's going to be a start small. But who knows where this will grow every year, this particular month where we focus on beyond. It can grow. It's already grown. I can remember a time when we put hampers together and we just couldn't work out how to get them out to people. We had a few people who said, I'll have one. But we didn't really have connections in the community like we do now. Thanks to Sarah. Thank you. Stand up, please, Sarah. Sarah is an ideas girl. She has always these ideas. Oh, we could do this and we could do that. And she finds places. Now we have plenty of targets, plenty of places that we are able to connect with. Some of them we partner with existing charities like Rahab, and others we have direct connections ourselves. We go down to Watson and go to the flats there every month, and we bring people the word of God through love, through practical ways. We give them a coat and some food, so to speak. All right, that is giving of money. Now, giving money can be uncomfortable and a little bit annoying to our carnal minds. But if you thought that was uncomfortable and annoying, what about giving time? Well, today we're giving money, giving you the opportunity to give some money. Next Saturday is an opportunity to give some time. And time can be annoying because we've got to not watch the footy. We're not asking anyone to come to the grand final during the grand final today, Craig. Don't worry about that. But it can be annoying, can't it? I've got to get up. I've got to put off doing something else while I go in the car and get over there and do that. But it's a fantastic thing to do. Jesus gave himself and he gave time to us. He came and said, I will go. He had a go in his spirit. And in his DNA is go. I'm going to get out of my own comfort zone and go. I'm going to leave what I'm doing and go. And all missionaries have done that ever since. We're going to go. And that DNA is in us. It's in our spirits. When we are born again, he comes into our hearts and he puts a go in there. And we have a stirring. It says, I want to do something. I want to do that. I want to get involved. I want to be on a team at church. I want to be on a beyond team. I want to get involved somehow. That is the go of God. Even while we were sinners, Jesus came and died. He didn't wait for us to be nice people because that was never going to happen. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. It took time for Jesus to meet with us and to touch us, but that time was an investment again that he loved to do. There's a Roman historian by the name of Tertullian who also got saved and became a Christian leader. And he wrote a long letter to the leaders in Rome in the, what did they call their parliament? The something or other. The Senate. Boom. Well done, Chris. Congratulations, gold star later. The Apologeticus, he wrote it in AD 197, even refers to the fact that it's been 160 years since Christ has been with us. It was a defense of Christians who were starting to get persecuted in Rome. And he part of it talks about how the pagans around them said things like this, how these Christians love each other, how ready they are to die for each other and for those in need. Because the Christians were carrying the social welfare of Rome. The longer the church went on, the more of all the problems in Rome were being carried by the church. And when the leaders started to persecute the Christians, there were some of their advisors would come and say, well, you better watch out because if you do this, we're going to lose some things that will make this city a whole lot worse. For example, the Christians took in unwanted babies that were left outside houses in the street to die. That was how they aborted babies in those days. We can't afford another child, put it out the door and just leave it in the elements. The Christians invited poor people to love feasts, agape feasts, to have a meal for no cost. The Christians cared for widows and for wives who were kicked out by their husbands for whatever mild reason. Christians cared for and gave money to those who were sick, those who were injured in battles, regardless of what the battle was, and to children who'd been orphaned. And Christian husbands and wives were the ones who were taught to commit to each other and refuse to follow the lust-filled sexual behaviour of the culture around them. And Jesus said that those outside the church would know that we were real Christians by the way we loved each other and others, by our actions. And that's exactly what happened in ancient Rome. It wasn't so much miracles and preaching that brought people to the door of the church. It was seeing what the Christians were doing to the poor, to the weak, to the vulnerable. And so with this in mind, we want to have that same reputation in Canberra. And this Serve Month is just a small step towards that, a small beginning. But blessed are the days of small beginnings. So it's going to be next Saturday, October the 12th, 10 o'clock here. There's going to be groups around the church all preparing bags and gifts and things for various parts of the Beyond Ministry. You can talk to Sarah about this after church if you'd like to do that, or you can just go straight to the website if you'd like to do that. All right. So, while humanity was selfish, proud, and separated from God, he demonstrated his love for us by sending Jesus. Let's close our eyes. And maybe you're sitting here today and you have not invited God into your heart and asked him to forgive you and received his forgiveness, because he's paid for every sin we've ever committed and everyone we will commit. And what we have to do is turn from our own way and thank God for that and receive for his forgiveness for free of charge. That's the amazing part of grace. And demonstrate our love by leaving our way and taking on his way and making him the Lord of our life. So if that's you today, why don't you join us as each of us refocuses on him and our purpose, our core, again, in our hearts with this prayer. Why don't you join us? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love, your undeserved love. I accept your offer of forgiveness. I turn from my own way, and I make you the Lord and the focus of my life. Please come into my heart. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.